Drew Spivak from ESPN in Denver joins us. Drew, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me back on again.
Hey, appreciate you coming on. Alex Tanguay, pretty much nothing left for him. Where do you see Bodker fitting into this lineup?
Yeah, I have a feeling Bodker's going to end up probably in one of the top two lines. It kind of sounds like right now the plan is to have Skate with Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskogen basically take the place of Alex Tanguay, who's been skating on that line for the last couple of games here. So he should be able to come in and get some time with Nathan MacKinnon, which ought to be interesting because you watch Bodker, you know he's a real good speed guy. So putting him and MacKinnon on the line together might be pretty fun to watch. And I would probably suspect that Bodker is going to come in and be a power play guy for the Avalanche. I think he was averaging over 4 minutes of ice time on the power play with Arizona this year. So he's going to come in there and probably play on the power play for the Avalanche as well.
Now, you know, it's interesting. You look at the underlying numbers. A lot of the analytics guys say, hey, Bodker's not great. And maybe he fits in perfectly because Colorado's a team that finds ways to win despite the analytics.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be one of those trades, too. That's kind of, you know, because I was reading up a little bit about what people nationally kind of saying about this trade. And, you know, people were talking about Bodker's, you know, analytic numbers kind of being down. But people looked at Alex Tanguay's numbers, and his analytical numbers aren't really all that bad. But I think anybody that's watched, you know, Alex Tanguay this year can watch and say, yeah, those numbers are probably really deceiving. Tanguay really has nothing left in the tank. He's been nothing short of awful this year for the Avalanche. So if Bodker can come in and kind of be a guy in a different system now, I think one of the things to watch for Bodker will be, you know, how does he transition from playing in Tippett's, you know, defensive-minded system to more Patrick Waugh's kind of up-tempo, run-and-gun type system with the Avalanche. I think it could be a good fit for him. And you know, you look at what the Avalanche gave up for him. They didn't really give up a whole heck of a lot. They gave up a guy in Connor Bleakley, who was a first-round draft pick a couple of years ago that I know the organization and other scouts around the league are really down on. And they gave up Kyle Wood, who was probably their maybe sixth or seventh best defensive prospect. So they didn't really give up much. So it's kind of a short-term risk that maybe the Avalanche look at and say, hey, we needed to make a move. We needed to do something to try and improve the team. And I think they did that by making this move today.
Any pressure on Patrick Waugh to get his team into the postseason?
I don't think so. It doesn't seem like we've heard much about it. Everything's kind of been, well, you know, this is still kind of a rebuilding process for the organization. They're still trying to figure out what they've got. You know, and some of these younger players like Nathan MacKinnon and I guess in a kind of roundabout way, Matt Duchene and Gabe Landeskog, even though those guys have been in the league now for, I think, Duchene's in his seventh year, Landeskog's in his fifth or sixth year now. But, you know, they're still trying to kind of figure out where they're going with this organization, where they're going with this team. They've got some young prospects they're hoping to rely on. Chris Bigra, who's been up with the team playing defense now for the last couple of weeks. You've got, of course, Nikita Zadorov, who came over in the Ryan O'Reilly trade. And, of course, Mikko Rantanen, the kid from Finland that's tearing up San Antonio right now. So I don't think there's a lot of pressure on Patrick Waugh yet because they feel like, you know, they're still kind of building this thing up. But, you know, these moves today were moves that say, hey, you know what, we've got an opportunity to make it into the playoffs. You figure it's a free team race for those last two wild card spots between Nashville, Colorado, Minnesota. And I think if you look at, you know, where these teams are headed and kind of how they've been playing lately, you got to like Colorado's chances with it. So why not go out and make some kind of low-risk moves here to try and improve the team, which I think they did.
Drew Spivak joins us. Speaking of Rantanen, I wanted to ask you about it because you're right. He's been great in the minors, and because of his, you know, he's a European player, he's able to go down there a little bit younger. Has there been rumblings? Do you think he is somebody who gets a late-season call-up?
You know, I think so. A couple weeks ago, it was kind of brought up. In fact, it was right after actually they got back from the junior tournament that was kind of being rumbled around, and I think he got hurt, and then there was some more conversation, maybe the organization bringing him up. But at this point, it's almost kind of like, why not bring him up and give him a chance and see what he can do at the NHL level, especially in a playoff run, and maybe put him, you know, in a position to, you know, be like a third line type guy, maybe play with a Sean Mathias or a couple other guys and give an opportunity. Because at this point, you kind of look at it and say, well, what else is he really going to gain down in the AHL? He's clearly one of the better players, you know, not only for the Rampage, but in the entire AHL. So why not give an opportunity to come up and contribute to this team? So I think there's probably a pretty good chance that he's going to get an opportunity at some point this year, and I hope he does. I'd like to see what he can do at this level.
I haven't broken down the Avs' remaining schedule. Is it a favorable one, difficult? How do you look at it?
You know, with this team, honestly, it's hard to tell because they've been a team that's struggled at home but been better on the road. I know they got a couple games left with Minnesota and Nashville. I think they got 18 games left total. But so it's kind of hard to really value. I haven't had a chance to really go through and kind of break it down myself to kind of see just how favorable of a schedule it is. But, you know, I kind of look at it like I was talking earlier about how you compare them to, you know, the two teams that they're really in this hunt with Nashville and Minnesota. And, you know, Minnesota, you know, they had the hot streak there when Mike Yeo got fired, and now they kind of cooled off a little bit more. Pekka Rinne's picked it up for Nashville. He's been playing better, but I'm still not totally convinced about Nashville. I think when you look at Colorado, you look at it and say, okay, Semyon Varlamov plays up to what he can. You know, he gets that save percentage up a little bit higher, up around the 920 mark, then you got to like their chances. I think with all three of these teams, it comes down to the goaltending. Whichever goaltender picks it up and turns it on down the last, you know, 15, 20 games to wherever they're at, then I think that those are going to be the two teams you see get into the postseason here.
Well, Drew, it should be a great race. They're playing a little bit of catch-up right now behind Nashville as the Preds are five games up on Colorado with the game in hand. Meanwhile, the Wild are two back with the game in hand. And so Colorado-Minnesota, that might be the ultimate battle for that second wild card spot, because they're obviously not catching, I don't think, the Blues or the Stars at this point, being so far behind them. So really comes down to the Wild. And the Wild, a late trade coming in. They got David Jones from Calgary. I'm not sure what he has left, if anything. And you mentioned they had that little bump early from them, but they're a team that has struggled for the most part. Quickly going to Colorado, and you know how Varlamov really just kind of carried the team on his back for a good 2 month period. How's Nathan MacKinnon doing this season?
You know what, he's kind of been up and down. You know, here lately, he's been really good. I think the other night he had 9 shots on goal, and he comes out in the Stadium Series game and get the goal to finally kind of get him off the schneid there a little bit. But he's been playing really well. He's been generating a lot of offense. I think he's finally starting to feel more comfortable, you know, back in the center role and playing with Gabriel Landeskog again. So it seems like he's starting to kind of pick it up and get things figured out. I'd still like to see him do a little bit more defensively, but I kind of wonder at this point if it's going to be something where, hey, he's just going to be an offensive-minded defense or an offensive-minded center, and if that's going to be the case, then, you know, so be it. They've got a couple guys on this team that can kind of play that two-way type game. But, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of see, you know, with Nathan MacKinnon coming up after his entry-level deal expires this year, kind of what the Avalanche do contract-wise, whether they give sort of a bridge deal, they're trying to lock him up long-term, and kind of what the monetary value is going to be with that. That's something I'm really keeping an eye on. But MacKinnon definitely is going to have to be a guy that's going to lead this team down the stretch. If they're going to make this into the playoffs, he's going to have to be really good for this team moving forward. I think he's going to have a good opportunity now playing with Mikhail Bakker.